Bible this morning, we find our text in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. Appreciate what we've already heard.
Amen.
Brother Wade Huntley said years ago that if they had two preachers to preach at the same time, one of them would have a message from God and the other one would have a sermon. Well, you've heard the message from God, and we'll come to the sermon. I appreciate his thought this morning on being filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Rudy, it was in that same spot in 1977 that God kicked the bottom in out of me and filled me. And I have never gotten over it. And if you're a preacher this morning, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't get behind the pulpit again.
Oh, wow.
It's the letter of the law is killing everything that's touching.
Yes.
If you've ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, everything it touches, it'll bring life. Thank the Lord for that emphasis this morning. Well, last night we mentioned to you that I've had the Bible do a lot of things to me over the years. I've had it to rebuke me. I've had it to correct me. I've had it to direct me. I've had it to comfort me. A time or two, I've had a preacher take the Bible and beat me with it. I didn't go back for a return visit. But I have come in these days with an encouraging word from the Bible. I don't know about you, I need an encouraging word from God. And last evening we looked in Luke 15 at an encouraging word about figuring. We're bad to want to figure, try to get things to add up. And we looked at God's mathematical program in the life of the prophet. This morning, I'd like to turn our attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Bring some thoughts on an encouraging word about fretting. It is the favorite pastime of the Baptists, fretting. We call it concern, but it does the same things to us, raises the blood pressure, kills our immunity system, whatever you want to call it. God calls it worry. It is here, beginning in verse 25 down through verse 34. Our Lord is not preaching. He's not screaming and hollering. He's not slobbering and wiping the slobber off his mouth. He's just talking to his disciples in a conversation. And five times, he brings up the same subject. God was to mention it once, it'd be awful important. Twice, paramount importance. Five times, you can only figure the disciples are not listening. Maybe around the fourth or fifth, Peter, James, and John probably said, "Hey, we got it. He mentions it in verse 25. Take no thought. Mentions it again in verse 27. Taking thought. Mentions it again in verse 28. Why take ye thought? Mentions it again in verse 31. Therefore take no thought. Mentions it again in verse 34. Take therefore no thought. The little phrase has the idea of being anxious or worried. What is God's thought on the subject? Stop it! I thought it was interesting. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible for him to mention it five times. Five being the number of grace. It'll take the grace of God for you and I to quit working.
Sure.
I love the old Puritan prayer. prayed, Lord, deliver me from my greatest sin, which is to fear and worry about things that will never happen. Mm-hmm. I read an article the other day, 95% of everything we worry about will never come to pass.
Yeah.
Wow. It's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Worrying, being anxious, frustrated in making a decision or a choice, agitated because of upcoming possible events, actions that cause one to be tense, stressed, leads to insecurity, doubts, depression, breaks down the whole immunity system. Stressed out,
right.
Tension. I love the little story about the doctor. One of his patients came to him and told him, he said, Doc, he says, I'm having problems with my dreams. He said, what kind of dreams you have? He says, one night I dream I'm a teepee. And he said, other nights, he says, I dream that I'm a pup tent. The doctor says, I know exactly what's wrong with you. You're too tense. Some of you, after you loosen up, you'll get that joke. Because you are too tense. Our Lord talks in this text about quitting worry. But I don't know about you, having been through some real physical problems, my wife and I, here lately. I wake up in the middle of the night worrying. And I have gone back to this text again and meditated upon it. Because if I was to get fuzzy-wuzzy and have a religious epiphany and decide I'm going to quit worrying, I'm going to have a lot of free time on my
hands. Sure.
So it is with you.
Yeah.
If you were to decide this morning, I'm just going to quit it. A lot of free time on your hands. So it is in this text that our Lord suggests some things to the disciples that they may try to do to fill the time.
Yeah.
I'd like to mention those. Yes. You may want to take some of these and fill your time with them. Notice the first, if you would. He encourages them to go bird watching. Stop worrying. Why don't you go bird watching? He says in the text, in verse 26, behold, that is the idea of going looking, watching. Behold the fowls of the air, the birds. He says, go study the birds. Go bird watching. You're having problems worrying? Don't you take an afternoon and go bird watching?
There you go.
What would I want to look at them about? He says, notice that they sow not. I was wondering in riding out in the country here in the mountainsides, have you ever noticed out of the corner of your eye a bird out in the field? He's got his little beak in the ground, and he has dug out a little furrow, and then he's gone back and planted a few seeds every few feet, and then he's come back with his little old feet, and he's kicked the dirt back, and now he's sitting over there waiting for them to come up. Have you ever seen that? Absolutely not!
Right.
He says in our text, he says, neither do they reap nor gather in barns. Have you ever been out riding and notice out of the corner of your mouth a bird on a tractor, wings spread, got a wagon behind it with all the groceries, and he's riding to the barn? You have never in all of your born days ever seen that happen. A They feed, sow not. They gather not into barns. I was thinking, suppose we were to have a Save the Earth moment. We wanted to start a Facebook page and a GoFundMe page to raise money to feed all of the bird population of the world. We're going to start a PETA Bird Society. And I read an article not long ago, in order to buy bird seed to feed all of the bird population, we would need approximately $35 billion a day to buy bird seed to feed the bird population. I got to thinking about Bill Gates. He's worth $70 billion. We could count on him for 2 days. Trump is worth $10 billion. We could count on him for breakfast one morning. Bill and Hillary are worth $200 million. We could count on them for a snack. But here in our text, he says in verse 26, yet your heavenly Father,
yes,
Abraham.
I was interested in that little word, Vita. It means to fully maintain all the needs of a creature.
Oh, my. Yes.
He's been doing it since creation. Yes. And they ain't done jack to help
him. Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir.
Oh, my.
Listen. Yes, sir.
Oh, I got to thinking, if he would do that for a bird, wonder what he would do for somebody he died for.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me this morning? The suggestion is for us to quit worrying. Well, what am I going to do? Mike could go bird watching.
Yeah.
What else does he encourage them to do to fill their time? Not only does he encourage them to go bird watching, he encourages them to go flower gazing. Notice the text. Don't take my thoughts on it. He says in verse number 28, he says, why take ye thought for raiment, clothes? I meet a lot of people from time to time. I don't think they do take any thought about what clothes they are. I often ask my wife when I see individuals, I ask her, I said, you know, good boy, they ain't got no mirror to have. They ain't stood in front of no mirror and said, man, I'm looking good. Take no thought for raiment. The suggestion is here says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, not arrayed like one of these. He says in verse 28, he says, they toil not, neither do they spin. It is my understanding that this is apple country, apple trees. Maybe you could go out one afternoon, or you may want to do it in the morning because it would be anybody around because they'll think you're crazy. Get at the base of an apple tree and put your ear up to the base and see if you'll hear any sounds like this. I'm going to plant some apples today. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. No. Trees toil not, neither do they spin, but he clothes them with fruit, flowers. He says in verse number 30, wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, is tomorrow is cast out into the oven. How shall he not much more clothe you? those things are going back to the ground. We're going to last forever. You have a tendency to worry. He said, stop it. Why don't you go flower gazing, looking at the trees? I was thinking about that again this morning. When I first started into evangelism 28 years ago, and he pastored 18 years bivocational like your pastor. And shortly after we got into evangelism, one Friday afternoon, Beth told me, she said, you know, she said, taking your clothes to the dry cleaners is destroying. And she said, you need to buy some more suits. And I said, well, there's one small problem. She said, what's that? I said, we ain't got no money right now to buy suits. We left it there. We didn't pray, oh, great God, would you send us some? No, none of that. We just mentioned it in the air. That Sunday, I started meeting in Carrollton, Georgia. That Sunday night, the pastor and I were standing in the Wendy's line. And he turned to me, he says, I want you to go somewhere with me tomorrow. I said, where do you want me to go with you to? He says, I want to take you to the suit store. He says, I want to buy you a couple of suits, the shirts, the ties, and everything. Do you think God heard us talking about it on Friday? He took the little thought and took it over to Carol. I believe it with all my heart.
Yes.
Listen to this. I was thinking again about old Percy Ray. Never was married. Was in a meeting one day. An elderly lady in the church, she said her husband had just died. And that he had bought a suit before he died. And she told Percy, she said, Brother Ray, she said, God told me to give you this suit. And she says, I would like for you to try it on and see if it fits. I love what he told her. He said, sister, if God told you to give it to me, it fits.
Yes.
Yeah, that's him.
What is it that keeps us from not going down that road? Did you see what he said at the end of verse 30? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, there's the question. That little word faith has the idea of resting all of the weight upon another. I was thinking about old John Patton, spent 46 years in the New Hebrides Islands ministering to cannibals. I don't know about you, I'm not into cannibals. If you're going to minister to cannibals, leave my seat on the plane empty. Not interesting. I've been 46 years there ministering to cannibals. He translated both the Old Testament and the New Testament into their language. When he began, he could find no word in their language for faith or belief. Him and one of the converted cannibals had been up in the mountains deer hunting, and they had killed over a large buck. They had drug it back to the village. They were wore out. He says they had both laid down in a hammock. And he says that old converted cannibal made a statement in his language. He says, oh, how wonderful it is to rest all of the weight. He said, there is my word of faith.
Yeah.
Oh, that is exactly what our problem is,
sir.
When we worry, we have refused to rest all of our weight upon him. Our whole being must be resting upon him.
Yeah.
Oh, he has encouraged us to go flower gazing. He has encouraged us to go bird watching.
Yeah.
But I notice in our text, he encourages us to set our focus on him. It's all about Him right now.
Yeah.
Everything we're going through. Matter of fact, He tells us in the text in verse 31, "Wherefore take ye thought, saying, what shall we eat?" By the way, what is for lunch? Does that cross your mind? What you're having for lunch? Stop it! Shall we drink? Where all shall we be clothed? He says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. I would remind you, we are Gentiles. And Him calling us Gentiles is not a compliment. Matter of fact, we get our word from that little word Gentiles, dog. Dog. I know some of you are dog lovers. I'm not a dog lover. My wife's a dog lover. I'm not a dog lover. I don't want any doggy sugar. You can have all of that. I've seen them too much. I don't want no doggy sugar. So His reference to us as being dogs, not a compliment. He says, stop acting like the Gentiles. They're always worrying about something. He says in our text, for your heavenly Father, what? It's an interesting word. Knoweth that you have need of all these things. I was interested in that little word, knoweth. It means to fully know because one has caused it to happen. Wow. How in this world does He know what's happened to me? Because He caused it to happen.
Amen.
I was thinking about that again. Many of you know that I have had bladder cancer surgery. My wife has just had knee replacement, and she's had all kinds of complications from that surgery. And she's getting over it. And I have always preached, and I've had God to remind me of it on numerous occasions, that He already knows what I'm going through. Because He planned it that way.
Yeah.
And I've always been convinced that He created solutions before He did problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So any problem that you're going through this morning, He has already created the solution before He did the problem.
Yeah.
That's why we can trust Him so wonderfully. You say, well, I don't believe that. Sure enough. What do you think He created first, air or birds? You think He created birds and told them, you'll hang around a little while, I'll create some air and y'all fly around? Oh, no. What do you think He created first, trees or dirt? He created trees, left their roots dangle in the air, and he got the time to make some dirt. Hey, what do you think He made first, fish or water? He made fish, He told them to hold their gills, had time to make some water, and they could swim around. Hey, here's a deep one. What do you think come first, sin or a Savior? Mm-hmm. You think Adam and Eve caught Him off guard with sin? Oh, no. John said when he saw Him on the aisle, he said He looked like a lamb that had been slain before the foundation.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Solution.
Yeah.
Always before the problem. You say, Prince, how come I can't see the solution? Because you ain't over the problem.
Yeah. Sure.
When Beth was having complications with her knee surgery, blood clot in the lungs, God taught me this lesson so marvelously again. Solution before problem. She contacted in the hospital what is called C. diff. It is where there has been an overproduction of antibiotics into the system, and it kills all the good bacteria in your stomach, and you're now left with just bad bacteria in your stomach, and it sends your whole system haywire. Well, they had a liquid medicine for her. I can't imagine how much the liquid medicine cost. But she couldn't take it. Every time she'd take it, she'd throw it up. And the C. diff was just getting worse and worse and worse. Well, I asked them one day, I asked the doctor there in the hospital, dreaded disease doctor, I said, y'all got any pills for that that you could swallow? She said, yes. She said, but I don't know if we can find them or not. She searched all over the United States for those pills. We needed 20 of them, two for 10 days. Found an outfit in Atlanta, Georgia that had 20 of them, and they wanted $4,000 for them. I said, wow, that's interesting. Well, this old boy in the business department, he took my insurance and my copay and everything. He got it down to $1,172. 20 pills are going to cost $1,172. And he said, tell you what, he says, I'm going to work on a scholarship. He says, it's probably going to take about 3 or 4 days. And he says, I'm going to try to cut that down some more for you before we buy the pills. I said, listen, I said, how quick can you have them pills here? He said, we can have them here in 2 hours. I said, here's my Visa card. Get the pills, forget the scholarship. We need the pills now. He did that. Little did I know, in my post office box in Winterville, Georgia, there was a letter in that post office box that had been mailed 3 days before I needed the pill medicine. A church in Salisbury, North Carolina had sent me $1,200. I paid $1,172 for my pills and had some change to boot.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Did you not know that God knew that I had the problem long before I had the problem? And He had already cut out the solution.
He does that.
Yeah.
He does that.
He
That's Him.
No,
sure.
Amen.
Because He has planned it thus.
Amen.
He says in verse number 33, and this encourages us to set our focus on Him. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these. What? Isn't that what you're worried about this morning?
Thanks.
Some things.
Yeah.
He said, if you'll seek me first, if you'll focus on me first, if you'll lift up my lordship and my righteousness, if you'll want that ark at your house, He said, I'll take care of all your things.
Yeah.
He added.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that, don't you? Amen. Seek first His kingdom. He says in verse 34 in this setting our focus on Him, He says, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficiency unto the day is the evil thereof. Not only does He know, not only does He add, this is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this, and I'll be way over your head. You probably need a doctor's degree in theology to get this one. He cares.
Yeah.
He really does
Amen.
Care
Hallelujah.
For His people.
Yeah.
He careth. There's no need of me worrying. He says, take no thought about tomorrow. This is awful deep English lesson. If yesterday was the past, tomorrow is the future. On that analogy, could anybody tell me what today is?
Present.
What?
Present.
Present.
Yeah.
You mean at midnight last night, God sent me a present? Wow. These 24 hours are a present.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, I have never gotten a present before and just set it aside and so I'll open that later. I don't know. Probably ain't nothing in it worth getting. Oh, gracious, the minute I get a present, I'm going to rip it open and look and see what it's got in it. Oh, last night at midnight, God gave you and I a present.
Amen.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Amen.
What in this world could keep us from trusting Him? I begin to bring this message to a close in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. I remember a preacher several years ago helping me one night so much with this passage in Luke 9, because I'd always thought about this passage of Scripture as being not complimentary towards God. We've got somebody in this text that wants to follow the Lord, but he tells Jesus, he says, I want to go home and bury my daddy. Jesus tells him, says, forget about burying your daddy. Come follow me. I've often thought, gracious, who in the world want to follow if Jesus won't even let you bury your daddy? Then another one says that he wants to follow him, but he says, I'd like to go home and tell my family and friends goodbye. He tells him, forget it. Got time to go tell your family, your friends goodbye. I thought to myself, in the world to be following Jesus like that? But this preacher read this passage that night and overemphasized the real thought in this text. And I think it's probably the reason why you and I worry so much. I'll read it to you this morning. It begins in verse 58 of chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel. Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first, me first, me first, me first, me first. To go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first, let me first, let me first. Go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I realized that night God has no problem with you burying your dead or telling your friends goodbye, but he hates with a passion, a me first mentality.
Yes, yes.
When you and I really think that we're important enough to worry about,
oh my.
There's absolutely nothing about you and I that is worth giving one ounce of worry about at all. I love the hell out of that, don't you? Help you in your darkest hour.
Yeah.
I was thinking again about the children of Israel. You know, their beginning days in the wilderness, they were worry warts. They loved to worry. You know, God fed them. You're talking about giving no help to God at all. They ain't plant nothing, ain't grow nothing. And for 40 years, he fed them. Can you imagine that? You talking about being dependent. That's where they were at. Told them they could collect an omer for each person in the family a day. Orpah Pink said that the Middle Eastern economy, an omer was 6 pints. So we've got 2 million Jews approximately in the wilderness. So every day, he sends them 12 million pints of manna. Close your eyes and picture for me, if you could, 12 million pints. Have you got it pictured? I ain't got nothing pictured. Can't picture 12 million. It would be approximately 9 million pounds. Could you possibly picture 9 million pounds? Can't picture. 4,500 tons. Could you picture that? Can't picture. Suppose we had the manna train come through to help us with our picture. Each one of the boxcars had 15 tons. So that means if you get caught at the manna junction and the gates have come down, you are now going to count to 300 boxcars. 295, 296, 297, 298, 299, 300 every morning for 40 years.
Yeah.
Don't forget, if you were to get caught on Friday, it will be double. 595, 597, 598, 599, 600. Because he didn't want them working on the Lord's day, so he sent them double the day before. Every week for 40 years, and they didn't do jack to get it.
Right. Amen.
Can you imagine if he would take care of worry warts like that in the wilderness? Pray tell, what would he do this morning for his children of whom he died?
Amen.
In closing, I was reminded again this morning of Sevilla Martin. 1866. Her husband was an old Wesleyan evangelist. She was a godly lady. She had a dear friend in what we would call the nursing home. They call it the poorhouse. She would often visit her. She went one morning to visit her, and the nurse at the front said, She said, I saw her this morning. She's in the back, looking out the window. She went back there to where she was at, sitting in the wheelchair, looking out the window. The moment she saw Sevilla, she said, Sevilla? She says, I've been sitting here all morning, watching the birds. She says, you know, it's amazing to me how God takes care of those little birds. Sevilla went home that day, and in a few moments, she had written the words to this song. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, by one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen.
Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Tempted in the next few days to, hey, deep theological question. Any of you worried about COVID lately? since March.
Stop it!
He says, I'm the one that caused it.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we know little Chinaman over in Weehawken. It got a little shaky with a petri dish and dropped it. He said, I caused the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he says, my eye is on you.
Amen.
I'm glad of that today.
Amen.
No
yes, sir.
Thought.
Amen.
Thank you, Christian.
Amen.